Good morning, everyone. Thank you for joining us to the fourth quarter 2022 earnings conference call. I'm Marcelo Cobra, IR Director at Infra Commerce. The results we announced yesterday, the audio of this call, and the slides we're referencing will be available on our website. Together with me on this call, we have our CEO and founder, Kai Schoppen, and our CFO, Fabio Bortolotti. After our presentation, we'll be available for the Q&A session. Should you have any question, please click on the raise your hand button and you will enter the queue. You can also send your questions via chat. Before I turn the floor over to Kai, I would like to warn you about our forward-looking statements. Any facts discussed today that are not historical facts, any matters that regard the company's future plans, objectives, and expected performance constitute forward-looking statements based on a range of assumptions that the company believes are reasonable, but are subject to uncertainties and risks that are discussed in detail in our CVM filings. Forward-looking statements are no guarantee of performance. They involve risks, uncertainties, and assumptions as they relate to future events and therefore depend on circumstances that may or may not occur. Investors should understand that general economic conditions, industry conditions, and other operating factors may affect the future results of the company and may lead results to differ materially from those expressed in such forward-looking statements. Also, during the course of the call, we'll discuss non-IFRS performance measures, which should not be taken in isolation. For a consolidation of non-IFRS measures, refer to the tables at the end of our earnings release. Now I turn the floor over to Kai, who will give you the highlights of the quarter. Thank you, Marcelo. Good morning, everyone. First of all, I would like to thank our team of over 4,000 infras who, with a lot of passion and our way of doing things, are helping us to create this disruptive business model, which is digitizing the supply chain. The year of 2022 was really important for Infra Commerce. Our client base continues to expand, and we're very happy with the number of new clients joining that base. But after many years of aggressive growth, in the end of 2022, we entered a new cycle focused on profitability and cash flow generation. Throughout the year, we advanced strongly in integrating the acquired companies and in the consequence, synergy gains coming from those movements. That boosted our advances of our profitability indicators throughout the year of 2023. In addition to that, in a very hard moment in the market, we were able to significantly optimize our capital structure in 2022. We captured 400 million Brazilian reais coming from private capital, and we had important negotiations extending the timeline for paying our bank debts and also installments related to our M&A. Our net debt over EBITDA at the end of the year was 1.2 times. As you can see on slide number 5, we had a solid year, overcoming our EBITDA guidance and exceeding the barrier of 100 million BRLs. At the same time, we delivered great revenue growth. And an important number to consider is our organic growth achieved in 2022. After isolating M&A's contribution, we achieved 24.5% growth, 15 times above the e-commerce growth in the year, which was at 1.6%. Our GMV achieved our guidance, being very close to 13 million BRLs as expected, and our take rate continues to grow compared to 2021. Our fintech is advancing well with a TPV growth of 260%, achieving 3.6 million in 2022. With our synergies agenda and the PMI project advancing, we are on our way to deliver our EBITDA minus CapEx at a positive target in 2023. Now moving on to slide 6. On slide 6, you can see some details of our growth by business units, with the B2C growing over 150% a year, B2B advancing 52% with an almost fully organic growth, and our LATAM businesses growing by 68%, reflecting the interest of major brands and multinational companies in expanding their relationship with us, going beyond Brazil. Now moving on to slide number 7. You can see some highlights of our Latin American operations. It's important to mention that we have recently started the last stage to consolidate the region with the signing of acquiring Ecomsur, a full commerce player from Chile that has operations throughout the whole region with a strong presence in Mexico. And behind Brazil, Mexico is the second largest e-commerce market in the region, with a growth rate that even exceeds that of Brazil. It's important to mention that by joining our forces with Ecomsur, we'll become the leader in our business model in the 8 countries where we operate in the region. Now I turn the floor over to Fabio, who's going to give you the financial highlights. Thank you, Kai. Good morning, everyone. Okay, let's move on to slide number 9, where you can see our main financial indicators. We had yet another quarter with GMV and net revenue growth up 54% and 58% respectively in Q4 22. Different from the other quarters of the year, this quarter has some effects of the signing with Sinaco that happened in November 21. Even with a challenging scenario in e-commerce, we have addressed the growing need of companies in expanding their share with their direct-to-consumer over total revenue. But as we said last year, we've been focusing on profitability and generating bottom line. And Q4 shows that this strategy has been delivering results, because we had an EBITDA margin of 16.4%, a 6 percentage point growth compared to the same quarter of 21. Now, on slide 10, you can see the same indicators for the full year of 2022. As Kai mentioned, our organic growth closed the year 15 times higher than the rest of the market, according to Nielsen. And even if we focused on profitability rather than growth, we had a great GMV growth and just a small revenue variation. But since our focus is on profitability, our adjusted EBITDA was above the range. And as a consequence, our final EBITDA margin of 11.5% covered the guidance, which was from 8 to 10%. And one of the main levers are the synergies coming from our M&A integration that can still grow in 2023, in addition to the decrease in our SG&A, as we'll see in the next slide. So on slide 11, you can see the dilution of our SG&A. As all of you know, in 2020 and 2021, we had years that were marked in investments in our governance structure for the IPO and for the integration of the M&As, because we were preparing to go from 236 in revenue in 2020 to a revenue of 890 now. So a 4-fold growth. Thus, we believe that 2022 was a turning point year. SG&A over net revenue decreased by 12 percentage points. That shows our commitment to diluting fixed costs and improve our economies of scale. Now on slide 12, you can see a net profit breakdown. Our net profit, because of M&As, are suffering non-recurring effects, especially non-cash effects, especially due to the M&As, as you can see in the chart. So we isolated the effects to understand the net revenue. In 2022, we had an adjusted net loss of 146 million, still impacted by the high interest rates in the market and increase in the depreciation of the investments that we made in 2020 and 2021. Now, on slide 13, you can see more details about those investments. Just like in SG&A, 2022 also changed our focus on preserving cash and concluding the main stages of the integration program. As you can see, the quarterly evolution of 2022 on the chart on the right-hand side. Technology and infrastructure. We made investments in 2022, and that was impacted by the costs required by the acquisition of the companies and systems integration and adaptation of our DCs infrastructure to absorb the DCs that were closed throughout 2022. So we decided to include in the guidance of 2023 our CapEx, as we'll mention later on. Now moving on to slide 14, you can see our cash position at the end of the year and our net debt position. In 2022, we closed with a cash position of 293 million BRLs, a growth compared to the same period of the previous year. And in Q4, we had the injection of the other amounts that were raised in Q3. Net debt on the quarter was 219 million BRLs. Not only about cash management, we had other important landmarks in our indebtedness management. We had two lines that would have to be amortized in a shorter period of time. We had the capital raise that happened in September, and more recently, we also addressed the capital raise needed for the year in spite of this challenging macro banking scenario, and that was acquired at attractive rates. Now, let's talk about the perspectives for 2023. A year that has already started. On slide 16, you can see our PMI overview with synergies of the acquired companies. In 2022, we completed the integration of the top management, harmonization of internal processes, and we renegotiated with suppliers, as you saw in the results of the previous quarters. But in 2023, we intend to complete a very important stage, which is systems integration, that can greatly reduce expenses. In 2023 alone, we intend to turn down 60 systems and tools that will save in teams, support, licenses, and maintenance, migrating all of those systems to those that we chose to focus on. Now on slide 17, as we officially announced to the market, we want to confirm the guidance for 2023 for our adjusted EBITDA and CapEx, which sums up the strategic focus of our company of expanding margins and reducing CapEx. We expect an EBITDA of 150 to 170 million BRLs and a CapEx from 120 to 140 million BRLs. So we can expect a turnaround of our adjusted EBITDA minus CapEx, inverting that negative trend that we saw in the last 2 years. Now I turn the floor back over to Kai for the final remarks. Thank you, Fabio. Looking at the numbers of slide 19, I am just so proud. We finished a cycle of aggressive growth, going from 100 million of revenue in 2018 to close to 900 million BRLs in 2022, achieving 13 billion in GMV. Our team has more than 4,000 of the best experts in digital sales in 8 countries of Latin America. We have conquered our place alongside the main technology companies in Latin America, and we did all that with a growing EBITDA and consistent margin gains. Our next cycle, which has started in 2022, is now completely focused on profitability gains, cash flow generation, and positive net profit. We feel confident that just like we delivered more than expected during our growth phase, we'll continue to deliver during this phase that focused completely on profitability. Now I turn the floor over to Marcela, who will moderate our Q&A session. Thank you, Kai. If you wish to pose a question, please click on the Raise Your Hand button on Zoom or send your questions in writing via chat. Questions will be taken in the order they are received. Please wait while we pull for questions. We have a question from Christian Faria with Itaú BBA. Christian, go ahead. You can unmute your mic and ask your question. Good morning, everyone. Can you hear me? Yes, we can. Congratulations on your results, and thank you for this presentation and for taking my question. I have two questions and a comment. We saw the churn going to levels that are very close to zero. So even in a challenging year in which e-commerce was under pressure, that happened. And so I want to understand what you see ahead of you when it comes to churn, because we believe this is a very low level. Is it possible to keep churn at that level? And the second question is, I know that you've talked about some clients that haven't gone through a ramp-up of operations yet. So what is the current status of the ramp-up for those companies, and how will these companies contribute to the company's growth in 2023? Thank you. Great, Christian. Excellent questions. About churn, we had an all-time record churn rate in 2022. So believing we'll keep that all-time record in 2023 could be a bit bold. Churn was close to zero, indeed, as you said, and as the market knows, we are phasing out Nike operations that are being absorbed by the Centauro Group. So at the end of the day, I think we'll see a slightly higher churn than in 2022, but our business model has historically had low levels of churn, and I don't see that changing. And why is that? Because the login of an e-commerce platform is already high, let alone in our business model that we offer fintech and platform in addition to logistics, BI, data lake, and many other solutions, IP, order management solutions, many sticky solutions, and all of that completely interconnected. So that's why we've always had a very low churn. Now, about the ramp-up, yes, we have significant projects, especially in B2B, and they are in an initial rollout phase to major players that have from 60 to 80 distributors working with us in this B2B marketplace with 5 to 15 distributors. So in 2023, for these projects of B2B, we expect to achieve a volume of 80% of those distributors, training them, plugging them in, and then accelerating exponentially these two B2B projects. We also closed many customers in the second half of 2022. So we have almost like an implementation bottleneck in Q1. You see the wave of customers that we acquired in the end of 2022 coming in now in the beginning of 2023. So excluding that churn from Nike and maybe one or another customer, we are expecting great organic growth due to the wave of sales we had last year and that customer base that continues to expand. Great. Thank you very much. Our next question is by Luca Brandin. Luca, please unmute your mic and ask your question. Hi, everyone. Can you hear me? Yes, we can. Congratulations on your results. I have two questions here on my side. First, I'd like to know whether you can give us some more light into your guidance for 2023. Can you break this down by segment, B2B, B2C, and LATAM? Do you have expectations to achieve growth more in one segment or another, or an even growth? And what do you expect in terms of take rate and GMV growth for 2023? And a second question, can you give us an update about the beginning of the year in relation to sales and new clients, and also expansion with existing clients? Thank you very much. Okay, sure. Let's start by talking about the 2023 guidance. For these segments, we report, organically speaking, B2B is the segment that grows the most. This is a market that still has a low penetration with an amazing growth potential, and we are focusing on that sector. And Latin America as well. Even before the acquisition, we had been growing a lot, and we talked about Nike, whose operations in Argentina are going to start now. So that's a game changer. Now, B2C, we still see some carryover from 2022, so it's expected to grow less than the two other business units. Our take rate's quite stable by customer, and the average take rate depends on the mix of all those channels. So we expect the take rate, if the B2B segment actually grows more than the sum of B2C in Brazil, that will lead the take rate to go down, but that doesn't mean anything because our margins are much better in B2B. So we are more focused on growing our top line and gross margins. However, Latin America also has a very high take rate. With the acquisition of Ecosur and their inclusion in the numbers, that will push our take rate up. So you should look at the take rate by unit because sometimes the take rate is going down, and that's actually good news. And the opposite also applies because the B2B margin is much higher. About new clients, we continue with a very fruitful sales engine. Every quarter, you see that the number of new clients is quite consistent, but Q1 is always weaker, but then clients come throughout the year. So in Q1, we expect to have a ramp-up of the clients acquired last year. So we have many go-lives planned, and new customers are expected to come in the second half of the year. But there is always a great flow that is always above churn. Great. Thank you very much. That was very clear. Now we have a question that was sent in writing by Thomas with Compass. What level of one-offs related to Ecosur do we have to expect for Q1? Thank you, Thomas, for that question. Ecosur involves many countries, and we do not have a financial advisor. We work with local law firms and local audit firms. So we had expenses with them, and that would be the only one-off effect. So that is expected between the first and second quarter because the closing is expected for April. And many of these costs only come after the closing, but it's not a significant amount. It's just about the advice firms. And then we are going to start a PMI agenda. In the case of Ecosur, that's a merger with Nu Retail, our subsidiary with the assets for Latin America. And in this case, the PMI will be even more intense than that we had in Brazil to focus on the synergies we talked about in our publications. And then we can have some one-off costs, but nothing very significant because at the end of the day, it's just about investment in systems, no DC consolidation, so a lower investment than we had to make for the Brazil integrations. But that would be more than offset by the synergies that we expect to capture throughout the second half of 2023 and most of it for 2024. Well, we have no further questions. Should you want to ask your question, please raise your hand or send your question in writing via chat. Let's wait a couple of minutes to see if any other questions come in. Well, there are no further questions, so thank you very much for joining us. And we expect to see you in our next earnings conference call. Should you need any assistance, get in touch with our IR team. Thank you very much.